BlogTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Michael Shane.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
Is there something you want to tell us?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Well, isn't that just a cat's ass?
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
I know. Difficult to hear with your head up your ass.
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
All right. All those who are getting some hands up.
The Omega.
It's funny when friends get hurt.
Heartbreak Mike.
Michael, you're so bad.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Every day, I am here with my heart on my sleeve.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
If those of us who aren't, you enjoy this moment.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Oh, please, records and 8-tracks? This thing's like right out of the future.
Hey everybody, this is Biff Naked.
Hi, this is April Hunter.
Hi, this is Christy Annie. This is the one, the only Knockout, Tracy Brooks, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
WTR Sunday Night.
I'm starting to notice something about you.
You're still here.
And welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just got done with a really good edition of WWE Raw. They called it Stomping Grounds for some reason, so I guess we actually have to talk about it.
It was like it was in your house, Stomping Grounds.
That would have been better. Like, literally, like, I think this would have gotten more attention if they had just randomly brought back In Your House.
We'll get into it.
Yeah, we have some getting into it to do. So, first off, this is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we're down a Heartbreak Mike.
Yeah.
Playing Uber at the airport.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. So... yeah, the one chiming in is Hirokin, our producer.
Yay!
And
I'm here.
Yay.
Hi. Hi, Chad.
Hi.
Hi, I'm waving at you. You can't see it, but I'm waving directly at you. Not saying which one of you, I'm just waving.
Oh, the joy of video.
But there is... anyway. You're not supposed to talk
and
yet.
Butting in on the introductions.
As always.
The one and only Tim Stein.
It's my job. It's what I do. It's what I don't get paid for. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Stomping Grounds edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm in a very foul mood, so if I start cursing and stuff, it's because I'm in a very foul mood. Somebody stole my bicycle.
So if you know where his bicycle is at Flames Forums.
It's black and yellow with a brass-colored bicycle bell on the handlebar. It's a 12-speed.
Okay, so there's that. Now we're here to talk about a pay-per-view. Yay. So, a lot of people going into this show thought, this is going to be the worst pay-per-view of the year.
And we were no exception.
Well, you guys were. I thought it was going to actually be a decent show. It was a decent show, everybody. It was fine. It was good at points. Then it hit a roadblock in the middle somewhere. I'm not going to mention the person's name where the roadblock happened, but you all
the
know.
The roadblock? The roadblock. Was that a Freudian slip?
Maybe.
Thanks, Omega.
Or a roadblock. Not going to mention who it was, but it sort of slowed down.
I thought the roadblock pay-per-view happened in, like, February.
December.
Okay.
One time it was December, one time it was in March, and then it was a WCW wrestler for a while. Anyway.
They put those roadblocks up randomly so you can't keep track of them.
So, I knew a wrestler named Barricade.
So this time it's Stomping Grounds.
I'm just saying.
So what's a better name, Stomping Grounds or Great Balls of Fire?
They could have held out for one more month and had stomping grounds in Calgary, dramatic pause, Alberta, Canada, because the great Calgary 10-day party known as the Stampede is actually starting in the second week of July. So, you know, stomping grounds would have worked.
Or they could have brought back In Your House Calgary Stampede, which was the name of the most famous pay-per-view in Calgary.
Was it? Really?
It's the most talked about. They talk about
I think it's the only pay-per-view they've ever held in Calgary.
Okay.
Semantics. So it's the only talked about.
Semantics there. Anyway.
Yeah, ask gas or grass. No one rides free.
All right, we had a pre-show. It was for the Cruiserweight title. Tony Nese, Tozawa, and Drew Gulak. We actually crowned a new champion. People were shocked. People were surprised. The one thing I don't need to see anymore from anyone, whether it's a cruiserweight or a regular wrestler, is the German suplex into the turnbuckle. Someone's gonna get hurt.
Yeah.
I missed that. I missed it. I did. I missed that.
But he was, the move they did, when they did it was safe, but at some point, someone's gonna snap their neck on that. At some point.
Yeah, that's a buckle bomb situation.
And there's no way to catch yourself at all. But anyway, I enjoyed this. It was fun. Drew Gulak's your new champion.
I'm not able to talk about this match because I was busy working.
There's not much really to talk about other than Drew Gulak's your champion. Everyone on 205 Live should be excited. Maybe we'll get a PowerPoint back. Probably not. He's dropped that gimmick. Anyway, main show. What everyone saw. Raw Women's title. Becky Lynch, Lacey Evans.
Much better match than I expected just because Lacey Evans, and I'm sorry, I'm, it's going to be a long time before I'm sold on her. However, it came across to me like it was a very well rehearsed ahead of time match, taking into account, Rock, what you said, that they actually wrestled the same match last night at a house show.
Mm-hmm. Just about, except for a different finish, but pretty much the same match.
Yeah. Well, the only hiccup to this one was missing a mark where Lacey was supposed to be taking a boot to the chest.
That's your only complaint. I mean,
that's, you know, like, it's not like I'm looking to bitch and complain about shit, but like I'm saying, that looks like the only oopsie. Becky covered up well. She went to go and throw the kick. No, she wasn't there. Reset herself and then threw it again. It didn't really land hard, but Lacey sold it like it did.
What helped this match, Omega, was the crowd. They were really into Becky, and they actually hated on Lacey. That was good.
It's very easy to hate on Lacey, let's be honest here. And very hard to do anything but cheer when Becky's in the ring.
You can't wrestle. That was the main chant.
Yeah, it's good to have a hot crowd to start off, though.
Yeah, this crowd was hot. They stayed with it majority of the night.
It's starting to fall off a little bit, but yeah.
I said majority, not the whole show. Majority. There were certain things they didn't care about. But Tim said he's not sold on Lacey. And I get that from a wrestler standpoint, but as we'll see throughout the night, as a character, she has it.
Well, yeah, let's not get too carried away, but we will touch on that when it comes up again.
What I liked about this one is the rag spot they use, where she wipes the sweat off her and then shoves it in Becky's face. I like how Becky turned it around on her.
Yeah, and she snapped on the mandible claw for a minute there.
Yeah, I like that. That was good. So yeah, Becky Lynch is still your Raw Women's Champion. Good match. Good start to the show.
It was a good start. It was a good opener. Of course, as we all know, I am very, very, very particular about having a hot open to any major event, you know, having booked and promoted wrestling shows and written one or two matches here and there. If you can't capture the crowd and get them squawking in a good way, at the beginning of the pay-per-view, then you're in trouble.
But they got him here, so that was good. This crowd, what helps with this crowd, they were on the West Coast, so it was like, they're full of energy. It's only like 4 o'clock, so they're ramped up, they're full of energy.
Yeah.
It's not 7 and 8 o'clock at night on the East Coast. They're full of energy, so they're into everything they're seeing early. So that helps. Paul Heyman was backstage. being asked whether he'll be the referee or proxy or whatever, and Baron Corbin lets know he has chosen his referee for tonight. Who will it be?
Of course, Baron Corbin coming out of the very same room that Paul Heyman did about, long enough for Heyman to give his short little speech and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing how that timing works out.
Oh, yeah.
You then had, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens taking on the New Day.
Now, if you're not happy to see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn back again, what the hell is wrong with you?
They were so happy they threw a super kick party. Because that's what they did at the start. Super kick after super kick after super kick after super kick.
Yeah, like Black Widow said in the Avengers, I don't see how that's a party.
It's a party for them, not for their opponent. You want to talk about working a crowd. They got this crowd hooked in because they worked on Woods the entire time, and they were building to that Big E hot tag, Omega.
Yeah, yeah. Which is the smart way to book the match. Like, I don't like Xavier always being in the role of just the punch monkey.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm going to take the beat down and then set the hot tag up for Kofi or Big E. Because, like, we saw him in the match with Dolph on SmackDown. Guy's really good.
Yeah.
They really don't give him enough chance to shine. So, I get tired of seeing him in that role, but, you know, a lot of people really like Xavier. So, in this situation, especially because it's Big E's comeback.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah, it was the right call, and it's definitely the way to get the crowd into it.
I hope Big E's okay, because he dove through that rope again, and he landed on his shoulder.
Stop it.
Other moves that you should stop doing is that one.
Just came back from injury.
He clenched his shoulder. I was like, oh, please don't be hurt again. And also, Xavier getting Big E up on his shoulders. Impressive.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Impressive for a video game geek.
Yeah. In the end, a stunner ended Xavier Woods, allowing Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to get their first win since Money in the Bank. It's been that long.
God, it's an indignity.
How they're treating their heels right now. They don't win. And they've been wrestling a lot, so, you know.
Yeah.
It was the right finish. You needed to get Kevin and Sami some heat again and get them a win, and New Day can bounce back as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're not going to hurt the New Day.
No, you can't hurt them.
It's like on Big E's return, it's a little bit of a wow. They actually let them lose, but yeah, Kevin and Sami, they should be a little bit more dominant than they have been.
Well, Kevin, Big E got the win on Monday, so
50-50.
50-50. So it makes sense, and we'll probably see a match again probably on Tuesday. In some variety.
Because that makes sense.
In WWE land, yes, it does.
Up next, we had the United States titles to Samoa Joe, Ricochet. I enjoyed this really a lot.
One word. Wow.
I'll give you two more. Hard hitting.
I have four words. I didn't see it.
Okay.
Well, Joe versus Ricochet. In my opinion, that would have been like, earlier in the week, on paper, that would have been my pick for match of the night. And to this point, it was.
I enjoyed this.
Will that stand up for the rest of the matches?
We'll see.
We'll find out.
It was good near falls at the end. Ricochet used his agility a lot in this one to escape Samoa Joe a few times. And was able to get Samoa Joe, in Michael Cole's favorite words, the drop zone for the 6:30 and the win.
Cole's an idiot.
Are those his favorite words?
They're some of his favorite words.
Vintage.
Drop zone.
Vintage drop zone.
Oh, when we get to that match, remind me, I have a stat for the Roman match. I have a stat. And it's not a good one.
Oh dear.
But Ricochet's your new champion. I thought that was the right booking.
Unfortunately, because they were trading injuries, we kind of had to hot shot the United States title for back and forth.
Just a bit.
So that softens it a little bit for me. Like Ricochet has been such an outstanding performer. Like, you should see him with a belt.
And you had to get the belt off of Joe just to reset Joe, because
Yeah, well, I get that you have to get the belt off Joe, and you're looking at what are we going to do? What are we going to do? But to have Ricochet win it, that just tells me that they've got a shit ton of confidence in this kid.
And he
looks good. He doesn't look like a call-up that needs a little bit more polishing. Lacey.
Well, Ricochet's been around for a while.
Yeah. So no, he has.
There is that.
Have you gone past Chavo yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
Still waiting. Still waiting to see Chavo.
Just let me take my digs, okay?
I know, but he was also taking a dig. I'm still on episode 14 of Lucha Underground because I can't stand Chavo Guerrero. I just
Chavo.
So everyone was congratulating all the baby faces and the heel Charlotte Flair. We're congratulating Ricochet backstage, even the game Triple H.
And then who shows up?
Who?
No, seriously, who? I missed it. AJ Styles.
That was later.
That was later.
Okay, we'll jump to that now. Later tonight, Ricochet was taking a photo shoot, and then the club, Gallows and Anderson, were congratulating him, and then AJ walked up and said, nice belt. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow night.
He didn't say maybe.
All right, he said, I'll see you tomorrow night.
That's exactly what he said. I'll see you tomorrow night.
AJ and Ricochet. I'm okay with this.
Take my money. Take it. Oh, it's on free TV.
It's on free TV. Okay.
You seen all the memes on Facebook and Twitter, and it originally happened on, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank. Futurama. Shut up and take my money.
Speaking of shut up and take my money, give me Lord Daniel Bryan and Otis. SmackDown tag titles, Daniel Bryan, Rowan versus Heavy Machinery. Give me more Bryan and Otis because the two of them together are awesome.
God, you don't expect those two to mesh well.
Nope. But going in, this was the thing I wanted to see the most. I wanted to see Daniel Bryan and Otis because Otis is awesome. Like, he has it. He'll never be main event star, but when he to captivate a crowd, he has it.
It works.
He works. And he can go a little bit too, which helps. And this crowd, this crowd for this match. Bryan, of course, super over because it's in Washington State. We had either it was please recycle or we recycle chant. Couldn't tell what it was exactly.
Please recycle.
And drive a Prius.
How bad is it where you get your fans to boo somebody who's an environmentalist?
They tried. They really didn't. At least here. This was fun. Tucker looked good too. Like, Tucker tried his damnedest. And you can tell what Bryan's endgame right now is to make some underutilized talent look really good. Like, he made Heavy Machinery look like stars. He got Kofi over to the point where he's now WWE champion.
Bryan Danielson, a.k.a. Daniel Bryan, WWE's version of Natalya Neidhart. Wait a minute.
I don't know if I would.
It feels a little like, because he's had a few scares with his career already, he's already hitting that point of, let's put over some young stars, and he's making sure they're kind of like he was. You know, guys who are really talented that the bookers are not going to pay attention to unless someone does a hell of a job getting him over.
And he made sure Heavy Machinery looked good, and they, even though they're not used to being booed, they got their stuff over, and I enjoy this. Give me more of this. Bryan and Rowan retain, but I'll take another match or two out of this series.
Yeah, I can think of worse things to do than watch a couple of rematches.
So, still your tag team champions, Bryan and Rowan. Up next.
My God, that's one I got right.
SmackDown Women's title is on the line. Bayley and Alexa Bliss. Not bad. Enjoyable.
You called her Alexis. That's my gimmick. What the hell are you doing?
It's been a day.
It's been a week.
It has been a week. I enjoyed this. I don't know. It was a good match. They're continuing the story between Alexa Bliss and Nikki.
Which I thought they were going one way with it. Like, I thought this was it just started off like they were trying to purify Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're kind of corrupting Nikki.
Which is good. her jumping in at the end, it made sense, but it was very awkward. It's like, it was, I don't know, like, I think they could have done a better job of setting the spot.
A little awkward.
Because Alexa was going up for the moonsault, and Nikki comes in, the referee has to pull her out, because she was going after Bayley. This distraction allowed Bayley to get back up. She got knocked back down, she goes for the moonsault, gets the knees up, Bayley to belly, 1, 2, 3, Bayley retains. Overall, it's continuing the story, and we'll probably see more Alexa Bayley, maybe Nikki Bayley.
Well, it was a good match. I have to admit that when I was doing my pick'em picks, I was I'm guilty of having made the assumption they were going to give the belt back to Alexa now that she's all healed up and good to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't pick Bayley. But I'm glad that they didn't take the title off Bayley just yet.
Yeah, I think Bayley is having a good run right now. She's starting to get crowd support back. She's, you know, this new serious attitude is starting to play well for her.
Yep.
Yeah, and, you know, she's got one of the highest accolades in the WWE right now to work with, so I don't think they should be taking a belt off of her so fast.
No, and they need a champion on SmackDown who can sort of regain stability, because that belt has gone back and forth a lot in the last 6 months.
Yeah. Thanks, Charlotte.
Charlotte, yeah, pretty much. Then it's Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre.
Oh, joy.
So I told you I had a stat. The phrase...
Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to remind you of that.
Yeah. The phrase, big dog, was said 19 times during this match.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The big dog, the big dog, the big dog.
Someone was doing a drinking game on Twitter. The amount of times the word, the phrase, big dog
that
was said...
That person is dead.
Alcohol poisoning.
This is the point in the show where it had the roadblock for me a little bit, and some of the luster of Roman Reigns' comeback has worn off with at least this crowd.
Yeah,
or at least it started.
Back to Roman.
To.
Go ahead, Omega.
Yeah, we're right back to the chorus of boos for the overpushed Roman Reigns.
The live perspective is. Yeah, he got booed, but the young kids still love him.
Hi, Cena.
Pretty much.
Roman Cena. Just call him Roman Cena.
So, this was better than Mania. Had more heat than their Mania match, which their Mania match was nothing to remember.
I forgot they had one.
Shane's involvement helped. And the big dog won because he overcame the odds of Shane McMahon's coast to coast and spear after spear and Superman punch.
Yeah, but there's a 2-on-1 handicap match coming up now.
So, would it have made more sense for Roman to overcome the odds in a 2-on-1 handicap match first?
That's you don't want to overcome too many odds.
But he overcame them in a singles match, but to...
Yeah, but 2-on-1 means that he can get a cheap pinfall on Roman and still proclaim himself the best in the world.
So, where does this lead us to? What is this Shane-Roman thing leading to? Is this leading to Shane McMahon as your next WWE champion because he's the best in the world?
I don't fucking know. Like, there's an amusement to the Shane McMahon character right now. But at the same time, I don't know the end game.
Why do you say no, Tim?
Shane's not going to hold the title.
Why not?
Because it's just
he's not.
He just isn't.
But he could.
I said so.
So there.
But he could. He could.
That's the bottom line. Because I said so.
He could hold that title.
He's not going to hold the title.
He's the best in the world, Tim.
Well, if that's the case, then going by, with Booker thinking, he's better chasing it than holding it. He's not going to have the title.
Drew McIntyre helps him beat Kofi Kingston at SummerSlam to become the WWE champion.
No.
But his daddy held the title.
He did.
Different time, different storyline, different a whole bunch of shit.
But we're going back to the Attitude Era, Tim.
No. Attitude era. Attitude era is over. Move on.
That's what I call my penis. Anyway.
Attitude area?
Attitude area.
That's what happens when you get warts. Anyway.
What?
Okay. Apparently, Chat Omega.
Moving on quickly.
Yeah, I'm moving
quickly,
on.
So he doesn't hear it. Yeah.
So Omega, the chat wants you to draft Shane McMahon.
No.
Anyway. So yeah, Roman Reigns wins. He overcame.
You haven't noticed I'm trying to lose points right now.
Well, we'll have the final scores for the season coming up in a little bit. Anyway. So Roman wins. Yay. Then it was the WWE Championship Steel Cage match. Kofi Kingston and Dolph Ziggler.
Can we stop pretending like Dolph's a big deal now?
The only reason I didn't care about this match, Dolph Ziggler.
It should have been him, Tim.
Well,
it should have been him. Well, even though he was a Raw superstar and was completely ineligible for the match he says he should have been in.
Absolutely. But you blame creative because they fucked it up.
But it should have been him. He's going to tell us that repeatedly. It should have been him.
And don't boo this man.
It's Ziggler. It should have been him. He should. Okay.
Let's... Why? You didn't do it on your own. So why should it be you? Other people did it better.
Let's be real on what this WWE Championship Steel Cage match was. Was two mid-carders fighting. That's what this felt like. It was not a main event match. There's no main event heat. There's no main event storytelling. It felt like two mid-carders wrestling. Am I wrong?
Which it shouldn't. Because Kofi has earned so much more this year.
But that's what this felt like. This was placed in the wrong position. Didn't have the heat it should have had. It didn't feel like a WWE Championship match.
You're not going to get the heat as long as you're putting Dolph in there with absolutely no reason.
Other than it should have been him.
Well, aside from just a weak story, like Dolph's been gone for so long, he's been so sporadic when he does show up, there's no way you can make him convincing.
Imagine, go with me here, if instead of using Dolph Ziggler in this situation... You put a newcomer like Aleister Black in this match.
Why would you do that? People might cheer.
And, you know, feature a new talent and put him in a prominent position and let him get over instead of him just talking at a door waiting for someone to enter. We all talk about how they rely on people over and over again. It's like they're relying on Dolph Ziggler too much. His time is up. Move to someone different. But we're going to be stuck with Dolph Ziggler for a while now.
And
just the words, rely on Dolph Ziggler, is so dirty.
Doesn't AEW want Dolph Ziggler?
AEW wants everyone Vince won't pay anymore.
Except Dolph Ziggler.
AEW has sold 97,000 tickets to All Out coming up in September. Did you know that?
How many tickets?
97,000. And it's growing. It may be up to 135,000 by the time we're done tonight.
How many are family and friends, though?
None, because they're all individuals trying to buy tickets. Anyway, that's another topic for a different day.
That's another bunch of bullshit we'll lay on you next time.
Or listen to last night's episode of CB Radio where we detailed it all. It's the thing. It's still going.
BBC Radio, Radio 1. Oh, wait, no, something different. Never mind. Ignore that.
Yeah, please, ignore that. See, we're at Saturday night's midnight-ish. But I'll give them this. The finish was creative with Kofi diving through the ropes over Ziggler.
Yeah, the finish was good.
As I wrote in my notes, it was a blah of a match. But the finish was good. Kofi's still your champion. While we assume this feud's over...
Nope.
There's only 3 weeks until Extreme Rules. Hard to build. Hard to build up challengers. You can probably just add someone.
Don't put any bars on that hold.
Into this one. I have a feeling it's going to be a triple threat. That'll be exciting. So as mentioned, it's Roman Reigns versus Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre tomorrow night on Raw. Everyone get thrilled for that one. It's main event time. Everyone ready for their main event?
There's a main event?
It's the main event. Universal Championships on the line. Seth Rollins and Baron Corbin with a special guest referee.
Oh, God. Who could it be? It's not Becky.
No, it was not Becky. It wasn't
It wasn't the worst decision Corbin could have made.
It wasn't.
While we're at it, just as a quick interruption, everybody say hello to the multi-time, multi-award-winning host of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack Radio Show, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That's right, Lindsay Ward, gracing us with her presence in the chat room. Hi, Linz.
Hey.
The seven-year show this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Wow, 7 years.
Yeah, 7 years.
Damn.
Yeah. So there's that. So main event. The referee is Lacey Evans. Logical choice.
In a twisted way, it made sense.
It's when the whole theme of this is I'm gonna beat everybody you bring out for ref as with a steel chair. This actually made Corbin look smart. This might be the first booking decision that's made that happen ever.
Which tells me that somebody else made the decision and told him to take credit for it. Yes, I said.
It tells me someone new wandered into the writing room and said, hey, what if it was a girl? Oh, yeah. No, like, I really like this call.
It was a good call from a story standpoint.
And it led me to wondering, and it led the entire crowd to wondering, when are we going to get Becky? To the point where the crowd was actually chanting for Becky halfway through the match.
After they were chanting boring and 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 boring.
Yeah, there was a this is boring chant.
Many times over.
Yeah, and there was a Phil chant.
Yeah, you're still on it.
We want Phil. We want Phil.
Fucking let it go.
They'll never let it go. So, the match was okay because you can't do a lot with Lacey as the ref. So, like, you can't get the early near falls. You can't really build up the drama and the heat for a while until you're ready to get to the finish. And then she started playing with the rules. After Rollins put Corbin through the table, she changed the rules to no countouts because apparently she has the power.
That's how refereeing works.
Now, apparently. Then she went for the two count. Oh, my arm. My arm hurts. I can't make the three because, you know. And then Corbin had a chair and started wailing on Rollins and now no DQ. I mean, yay. So then we had a low blow. Becky came out, made the save for her.
Beat the snot. You
can slap him. You can slow count him. You can hit him with a chair. But you touched his dick, so now the girlfriend's out.
Took long enough.
So, Becky made the save for her man. Rollins was able to recover, hit the stomp, retains his championship.
And it's the same referee that cost Baron Corbin the title back in blah blah.
At Super Showdown 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, there was that. It was a main event. It wasn't the best main event. Wasn't the worst main event.
Was it really a main event just because it was the last match on the show?
Yes. That's what the main event is. It's the last match on the show.
Jesus, Murphy.
Baron Corbin's in your main events. And I don't think it changes. It is what it is. So, yeah.
The fuck do they see in him? What drugs do I need to be on to see it?
No, he's got to have dirt on Triple H, or he's got to have dirt on Stephanie.
Okay, here's a quick poll for everybody. Who would you rather see in your main event title picture? Would you rather see Baron Corbin or Jinder Mahal? Tim's role doesn't count
rigged.
Because he's biased.
That's rigged. No, I'm sorry. That's a setup. Just like in Star Trek VI, it's a setup. They were set up. Setting us up.
How's that a setup? How? Tell me how that's a setup.
Because there's no correct answer to that poll. I'm probably going to get in trouble for that, but let me just cover my ass. Say that Raj is a great guy. We all love Raj. Raj is fantastic. Don't hinder gender.
Neither. I'd rather see the Invisible Man or R-Truth. Do we remember the R-Truth heel run? Because that wasn't any good. But he's a great.
I laughed at the Confederate outfit.
He's a great 24/7 champion, though.
The Invisible Man versus Ant-Man. Now there's a match I want to see.
All right. Overall thoughts on this pay-per-view? Give it a grade, Omega.
C-. It's like, whoa. There was nothing terribly offensive, but nothing really felt like it was pay-per-view level.
Tim, grade the show.
For a wrestling show. I'll give it a solid B-. It was fine. It was way better than people are you know, bitching about expecting. It was better than I was expecting. It was more entertaining than I was expecting. Really, nothing major, nothing flashy, nothing fantastic. It's obviously a stopgap pay-per-view, which is what about five of these pay-per-views every year are, just a stopgap pay-per-view. Short compared to most events.
3 hours and 18 minutes.
I didn't hate it. It was like a Raw with a heavy overrun. But I did not hate it. I mean, you know, watching it was fine.
Okay.
It did what it needed to do. It told the stories it had to tell.
Okay. There you go. Pick 'em results really quick. Coming.
All right. Well, starting in 11th place, Crispy, you got 3 right, 6 wrong. Tied for 8th place in Omega. This is shameful. The 8 ball and you tied with me 5-4. It's shameful because we tied the 8 ball. In 5th place, and this, you know, this is where I call shenanigans, because Robin Lindsay tied with Heartbreak Mike, 6-3. I call shenanigans because Mike beat you and me. 3rd place. There you go. Yeah, the intern actually tied with you, Rock, at 7-2.
Yay!
2-way tie in 1st place. Jobber, 8-1. Matches up with Sheila, 8-1.
Yes, the 8 ball is a whore.
Well done, Jobber, and well done, Sheila. You guys tied for winning, so I guess you didn't F up Pick'em, Sheila. So, yeah, you know, here it is. I got 4 wrong. I got 5 right. And I generally say that when it comes to playing Pick'em and what we're predicting, being wrong more often than you nail it is usually a sign of a good pay-per-view or a good show. Now you can take that to extremes, Omega, and just deliberately pick what you think is going to be the opposite.
He's just trying to cover his ass right now. Anyway, so when it comes to WTR Fantasy, the season is over. It's officially over.
Yeah, you cheated.
I won 482 points.
You cheated.
You all should be ashamed of yourself. Mike came in 2nd with 316 points.
Mike cheated.
He picked Kenny Omega. You all should be ashamed of yourself. You lost to a person who picked Kenny Omega, who doesn't work for the company.
And so doesn't count. So he loses half his points by default for picking somebody not with the company.
Now, here's where things get interesting. Who came in 3rd? Because everyone's vying for the bottom spot. So, coming in 3rd.
I know I wasn't in last place. It doesn't matter.
The intern with 281 points.
He cheated.
Tim, you came in 4th with 260 points.
You forgot to count all the points that I should have had when I didn't get them.
Yeah, when you could have dropped Ronda Rousey and got more points.
I didn't even think of that. God damn it, you're supposed to remind me of this shit. I was just raking in the points when this goddamn thing started.
And then she left.
30 goddamn points a week, and then Ronda decides to go and get knocked up. What the hell?
So, coming in dead last.
Sex is overrated.
So, Mega with 231 points.
Okay, here comes the celebration noise. Go!
Mega, you did it. You finished in last place.
you know what? I'm the first one to win, too. I don't have to prove anything.
But now me and you both have won, too.
But I'm the first. So I'm now the Chris Jericho here.
Lindsay had 245 points. Just for the record, you're the Chris Jericho of this little thing now?
Yep.
Season 9 will start with the draft the week after Extreme Rules. See, count on a show then. But that's this show. We're done.
Holy cow. That means another round of fantasy begins in what, 2 weeks?
4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Because Extreme Rules in 3.
We're waiting for 4 weeks to do a new round of fantasy. Holy shit.
Yes, because schedules.
Okay, so here's a special pick'em. Who's going to win fantasy? Post it on the Facebook page for WTR Sunday Night / Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. All right, so here's your special pick'em. Who's going to win the new fantasy? Will it be Rock and Sock? Will it be the Omega? Will it be the Intern? Will it be Lindsay Ward? Will it be yours truly? Will it be Heartbreak Mike? Who am I missing?
It won't be you. Anyway,
that was six. It could be me. I won once.
It won't be you.
It could be.
It won't be
you. You can't say no.
It won't be you.
Don't say no.
It won't be you.
Knucklehead.
But this has been WTF Sunday Night. Wrestle Talk Radio. Live Radio on Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. As mentioned a little while ago, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, is the 7-year show of the Rack. Join myself and Lindsay Ward, 10 p.m. Eastern, as we review Stomping Ground, SmackDown, NXT, and all the news you can handle at the Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, the 7-year show this Thursday. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio. We're doing the Greater Than Great debate on national anthems. Because things. We start our series on summer blockbusters. So you can check that out on the archives.
Let the good times roll.
At CBRadioLive.com.
Thank you very much.
We will possibly be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for Wrestle Talk Radio. Quite possibly.
Let me know if you see my bike.
Let's know if you see Tim's bike. It's at Wild Talk
Somebody
Radio.
Stole my bike.
It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow and subscribe. Twitch.tv/WTRLive. Like Swax just followed us on Twitch. So there you go. Use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. Omega, plug your stuff.
All right. So if you want to see what I am up to at all times, you can follow me pretty much everywhere that you can type in TJ Omega, unless you want to follow me on Facebook, in which case look for TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, you can find me as TJ Omega on Twitter. You can find me as TJ Omega on YouTube with 1,000 videos for the content. And for a few things that YouTube does not let me post there, you can see them on TJOmega.net.
Tim Stein, tell us your plugs.
If you see my bike, let me know at Flames Forums on the Twitter machine. If you want to be uncensored about it and get somewhat political, then tweet to me at Voicing Sanity. Not voice in sanity, but voicing. VOICING sanity. SANITY.
Make sure you follow the show on Facebook and Twitter, WTR Sunday Night. And we're done.
That's it, everybody. Another edition of WTR Sunday Night right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Rock is in a hurry to get out of here, so he is the one. That's the reason why he did the plugs instead of me.
Bye, everybody. Beats boom 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 boom. Hush beat goes zoom 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 zoom. My feet go boom boom. Walking away from you. WildTalkRadio.com.